President Trump. Pakistan's government is warning it could take up to 6 months for floodwaters to recede after record monsoon rains and glacial meltwater has left a third of Pakistan's territory underwater. The flooding uprooted 33 million people, has claimed over 1,400 lives. Public health officials are warning of the growing threat of waterborne diseases like cholera and dengue. On Monday, Pakistan's army raced to shore up flood defenses at a major power station in the southern province of Sindh, which supplies electricity to millions of people. Nearby, a major dust storm uprooted hundreds of tents at a camp for people recently made homeless by the climate disaster.
Our village, our town, were all submerged. We came here and we're living in tents. Now the tents have blown away and the weather has become so bad. It has started raining. Is there anyone who can help us? Please help us.
Public health officials are warning of worsening air quality across much of western North America as fire season heats up amidst a historic drought. In Canada, nearly 200 wildfires are burning across British Columbia. Among those forced to evacuate the flames Monday were 350 workers with the Trans Mountain Oil Pipeline Expansion Project. A thick pall of smoke has settled over the city of Vancouver, which had the worst air quality in the world Monday. Meanwhile, Seattle has experienced some of its worst air pollution in years. In Northern California, fire crews are battling the Mosquito Fire, which has burned nearly 65 square miles, threatening thousands of homes east of Sacramento. In Southern California, rescue crews pulled several trapped drivers from their vehicles Monday after the remnants of a rare post-tropical cyclone moved into the region, triggering flash flooding and mudslides. King Charles III is flying to Belfast, Northern Ireland today as mourners continue to gather at St. Giles Cathedral in Edinburgh when the body of Queen Elizabeth's coffin lies in rest. During the Queen's reign, more than 3,600 people died over three decades in Northern Ireland in fighting between the Irish Republican Army and forces backed by Britain. In 1979, an IRA bombing killed Lord Louis Mountbatten, the Queen's second cousin. In 2012, the Queen famously shook hands with former IRA leader and Sinn Féin politician Martin McGuinness in Belfast. Last week, Sinn Féin leader Michelle O'Neill paid tribute to the Queen.
There's no doubt that she leaves a legacy of someone who reached out the hand of friendship, someone who advanced peace and reconciliation, someone who sought to build relations between those of an Irish and those of a British identity. And I think that was sterling work and something that I think that should be very much remembered for here on this island.
Meanwhile, a 22-year-old man in Edinburgh was arrested Monday for heckling Prince Andrew over his ties to the late convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. The protester was arrested after calling out, "Andrew, you're a sick old man." He was later filmed in handcuffs stating, quote, "powerful men shouldn't be allowed to commit sexual crimes and get away with it." A new United Nations report finds nearly one in every 150 people on Earth are trapped in situations of modern slavery on any given day, either compelled to work against their will or in a marriage that they were forced into. The Director General of the International Labour Organization, Guy Ryder, announced the findings Monday.
That's an extraordinary figure in this day and age, that there are, you know, 27.6 million people compelled to work. And the even worse news is this represents an increase over our previous estimates, which were published in 2017, an increase of 2.7 million.
The ILO says a further 22 million people around the globe are in forced marriages. The report notes, quote, "entrapment in forced labor can last years, while in most cases forced marriage is a life sentence," unquote. Back in the United States, 15,000 nurses in Minnesota have launched a three-day strike demanding wage increases, better patient care, and relief from staffing shortages. The Minnesota Nurses Association says it's the largest private sector nurses strike in U.S. history. Meanwhile, some 2,000 therapists, psychologists, social workers, and counselors at Kaiser Permanente clinics in California and Hawaii have entered the second month of a strike demanding better care for mental health patients. In more labor news, U.S. freight railroads have reduced service, and Amtrak canceled trips on three long-distance routes as more than 110,000 rail workers threatened to go on strike this week to protest deteriorating working conditions. So far, 10 of 12 unions representing both freight and passenger rail workers have agreed to new contracts, but unions representing some 60,000 engineers and conductors remain in an impasse, and other workers have pledged to join if they begin a strike currently scheduled for 12:01 a.m. Friday. Workers want paid sick leave and say they're being pushed to work grueling schedules that their safety and that of the public. In Alabama, a black pastor who was arrested while watering his neighbor's flowers while they were away has filed a federal civil rights lawsuit against the city of Childersburg and the police officers involved in his arrest. Michael Jennings is the longtime pastor at Vision of Abundant Life Church in a nearby town. He's also a former police officer. His arrest took place in May, but police body cam footage was only recently released.
Do you live here?
No, I don't live here.
Okay. They're saying that this vehicle is not supposed to be here and you're not supposed to be here.
Who's saying
that? They called about it. I don't know who called.
I'm supposed to be here. I'm Pastor Jennings. I live across the street.
You're Pastor Jennings?
Yes. I'm looking out for their house while they gone.
Okay.
Watering their flower.
Okay. Well, that's cool. Now, do you have, like, ID?
I don't know, man. I'm not going to give you no ID.
Why not?
I ain't did nothing wrong. Did
well, you look,
suspicious.
Listen, I'm not saying do nothing wrong.
Stop, listen.
There's a suspicious person. Look.
Police later handcuffed Pastor Jennings and arrested him on charges of obstructing government operations. And the pioneering French film director Jean-Luc Godard has died at the age of 91. His 1960 debut film, Breathless, helped define the French New Wave movement, which revolutionized cinema. Godard once said, quote, "A film consists of a beginning, a middle, and an end, though not necessarily in that order." And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York with Juan Gonzalez in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
Well, as King Charles III addresses the British Parliament for the first time as monarch, we begin today's show looking at the legacy of British colonialism in the Caribbean, where there are growing calls for reparations. The Caribbean at one point formed the heart of England's first colonial empire in North America. Many of the more than 2.5 million enslaved Africans taken to the British Caribbean were worked to death. The string of island nations includes Jamaica, Barbados, the Bahamas, Antigua and Barbuda, and Trinidad and Tobago, among many others now in the British Commonwealth. Following the death of Queen Elizabeth II, the Prime Minister of the twin island nation Antigua and Barbuda said voters may soon decide whether to leave the Commonwealth and become a republic. Prime Minister Gaston Browne spoke to ITV News after he confirmed Charles III as king and head of state.
This is not an act of hostility or any difference between Antigua and Barbuda and the monarchy, but it is the final step, as I said before, to complete that circle of independence to ensure that we are truly a sovereign nation.
What sort of time frame would you think on a referendum then?
So I'd say within the next probably 3 years.
This comes after Barbados voted last year to break from its colonial past and become a republic. Meanwhile, in Jamaica, the ruling Labour Party says it also plans to hold a referendum on becoming a republic. For more, we're joined in Kingston, Jamaica, by the renowned Jamaican dub poet Muta Baruka, who's also a musician, radio show host as well. And in St. John's, Antigua, Dobreen Omar is with us, the chairperson of the Antigua and Barbuda Reparations Commission, also an ambassador at large of Antigua. We welcome you both to Democracy Now! Dobreen Omar, let's begin with you. With the death of the Queen, first your response, and then what you're calling for your country.
Well, it's good to be here. Let me say thanks for having me. In terms of my response, I will be very measured here. I will recognize that we are talking about death, we are talking about the loss of human life, and that the Queen would have had family, etc. But I'm under no obligation, I think, to be mourning her death. And that is simply because of, I think, my understanding of history, my understanding of the relationships of the British monarchy to African people and Asian people, but to African people certainly on the continent and here in the Caribbean. And so that my response is perhaps to recognize the role that the Queen, Queen Elizabeth II, has played, how she has managed to cloak the historical brutality of empire in this veneer of grandeur and pomp and pageantry, I guess, graciousness. But I think that at this point in time, we need to examine that history a lot more closely.
And speaking of that history, could you, for those people who are not aware, especially of the roles of King Charles I and King Charles II in the Caribbean, and especially toward your country, could you talk about that?
Well, if we look at the role of a monarchy, so we are going back now, mid-17th century, 1600s, King Charles I was perhaps the monarch, I think, that opened the trade between Britain and Africa. That was originally gold, minerals, etc., that opened that trade up to human trafficking, to the enslavement, to the movement of enslaved Africans. King Charles II, who followed him, actually was responsible, along with his then cousin, who later became James I, totally responsible for and ownership of the Royal African Company that moved more Africans off of the continent into the Americas than any other company in history. So what we're talking about here is the involvement of British monarchy in the ownership and the operation of the transatlantic, I prefer to call it, of the European slave trade, the movement of Africans here into the Caribbean. And so we now see this movement, and even before Charles I, we can be addressing Elizabeth I, and we see this recurrence, of course, in the names that we are talking about. And so we now supposedly should be mourning the death of Elizabeth II and welcoming a Charles III. But we know them. We know these Charleses and we know these Elizabeths. So there's virtually no mourning for me at this moment.
I'd also like to bring in Mutsa Baruka, the renowned Jamaican poet, musician. Your response to the death of Queen Elizabeth and also of the British Empire's relationship to Jamaica.
Well, good morning. I am totally in agreement with the first speaker. And I don't even want to go back into slavery because a lot of people claim that Queen Elizabeth was not responsible for what her ancestors did. She herself said that slavery was legal at the time, so she don't really recognize what we in the Caribbean is talking about. Now, we have to realize in 1952, that was when she ascended the throne of England. And if you check the history between 1952 and now, you will see that even though slavery was abolished, but they, what we call it, redefined slavery and call it colonialism. And colonialism in this part of the world was represented by the throne of England. So we're not really talking now about an individual person. We're talking about a corporation, an institution, which is called the Monarchy of England, that has totally devastated a lot of the progress we could have made if it wasn't for this what we call colonialism interpreted to us as slavery still. Now, we have to remember, in her time, there was the Mau Mau uprising, which is a very interesting case because she was actually named Queen of England when she was in Kenya. And the cruel and wicked things that the British army did to the African people there cannot be seen as just, okay, that is just something. And she had never, never granted any sympathy or say anything that would say, well, you know, she have a kind of art to what was taking place. We look in South Africa during the apartheid system. The British is part of that wicked apartheid regime that devastated and killed thousands of Africans who was fighting for right to be a person in South Africa. And it was not, it was recently, even during the time of Mandela and Winnie Mandela, that we was told that they were still on the list of terrorist groups. And even though England and this queen was ruling at that time, there was no effort to find out what is it they can do to help to alleviate the problems that confront African people in this part of the world. Now we come to the Caribbean in this time. The Caribbean has been devastated. We know in history, one of the richest plantation owners, cane owners, was a man by the name of William Beckford. William Beckford got his riches and became one of the richest men in England in that time. And up to this day, when we recognize how much people died because of the institutionalized slavery that they call colonialism, up to this day, the movement of a people, especially in Jamaica now, where our constitution was given to us by England through the hands of the so-called Bustamante and Norman Manley, who was recognized during that time in 1962 when Jamaica was supposed to be getting independent. They went to England and they got a constitution that is now part and parcel of what Jamaicans are supposed to live by. And when we look at that constitution, it does not include ownership of land in Jamaica by the people. If you go into the courts of Jamaica, it says the Crown versus Thomas Shaw, or the Crown versus John Tom. That is what we have to face right now. Now, when you recognize that Jamaica is supposed to be an independent city, its country, most Jamaicans say if Jamaica is not independent, that even though people say it's like a it's not rich, it's not really governing the country. But the head of state, is the governor general representing the Queen of England in an independent country. How the hell that is possible? That you have an independent country that is the first lady is the governor general's wife, not the prime minister's wife. And they set and designed the constitution that way. And these so-called, we call them Bosi slaves, Jacobite slaves, that they continue to uphold and maintain that regime that has committed so much atrocities and crimes.
Welcome back to CKUT. It's time for a little weather. Wednesday, there will be a light rain in the morning and sunny in the afternoon. The day will be windy with a high of 21 degrees Celsius. Thursday will be mainly sunny throughout the day with a high of 17 degrees Celsius. Friday will be mainly sunny in the morning with increasing clouds in the afternoon. The high will be 18 degrees Celsius. Saturday will be partly sunny throughout the day with a high of 19 degrees Celsius. Sunday will be partly sunny with showers throughout the day. The high will be 25 degrees Celsius. Monday will be mainly cloudy with scattered showers throughout the day and muggy. The high will be 26 degrees Celsius. And finally, Tuesday will be mainly sunny in the morning with increasing clouds in the afternoon. The high will be 25 degrees Celsius.
What's up, everyone? I'm Solo, an independent artist from Toronto, and you are listening to the New Spins Library on CKUT.
It surrounds our planet on all sides and has fascinated mankind since the dawn of time. This week on In the Shower we ask, does space end?
In the shower with Tazimarcus, 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 in the shower with Tazimarcus.
Hello, lovely listener, and welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a bite-sized, informative podcast that's aimed to be listened to while you're in the shower, but really, you can listen to it anywhere at all.
The whole point of this podcast is we take the questions that have kept you up at night, the mysteries of the world, and we take our fact-answering hammer to them and blow them up for your listening pleasure.
Have you ever wondered why our hair turns grey?
Or if plants have feelings?
Or why plastic is so bad.
Or why we put up a tree in our house at Christmas.
If you have wondered any of those questions, then good news, you've come to the right place. We've answered all of those questions on In the Shower with Taz and Marcus. They're all available on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And this week, we're about to answer one more.
This week's question comes from Dublin native Joey Carolyn. And he's asking a big one.
Step into the shower with us as we ask, does space end?
In the shower with Tazimarcus, 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 in the shower with Tazimarcus.
So this week's question comes from the one and only Joseph Joey Carolyn. Hope you're well, Joey. And researching it, I'm not going to lie, this is absolutely melted my brain.
I'm so excited for this.
It has turned my brain into mush.
Do you know what? Actually, one of our episodes that gets the most amount of response, I think, is Do Parallel Universes Exist?
Yeah.
So I kind of think that this is similar. And you explained that one to me and I was mind blown. So I'm ready to be further mind blown.
Oh, so basically Joey has asked, does space end?
Do you know what? I got to say, the variety of questions we get on this podcast is really, like, it's so incredible. From baby pigeons to parallel universes, like I said, and simulation theory, right back to literally wiping your bum to whether space is infinite or not.
I mean, you know, variety is the spice of life, and it's great that we can actually get a little insight into so many different facets of the mysteries of the world. But yeah, this episode absolutely killed me.
Why? How so?
Because, like, I love space, you know? Like, every little boy of my generation was given rockets and starships, and like all the TVs were like, TV shows were like, you know, Star Wars and Stargate SG-1 and like Star Trek. And I've loved space forever, but for whatever reason, I haven't really looked into this question. It's this vast, great unknown that's above our heads at all time, and it hasn't...
It's a bit scary.
It's crazy, isn't it? But like also space hasn't been as topical as it is now since the space race. Since, like, you know, the 1940s and 50s. Like, it's estimated that we'll have humans on Mars in the next 10 years.
That is absolutely crazy.
They're saying that 2030, they'll most likely have somebody either in orbit of Mars or setting foot on Mars.
That is absolutely crazy. And, like, space tourism. Elon Musk is all about that, isn't he?
Elon Musk is absolutely, he's crazy about space tourism. Elon and the Japanese billionaire Yusaku Miyazawa are going to be the first people to commercially go to space as early as 2023, which is going to sneak right up. And it's actually cool. Yusaku Miyazawa wants to bring a load of artists with him.
To do what?
To get inspired by space.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so
go on.
What kind of artists?
Yeah.
I don't know. Painters, musicians, poets.
Wow. What kind of timeline are we talking here?
As early as 2023.
What?
Yeah, the big Falcon rocket is designed, is being built. It's going to be tested. And literally, the trip will go up and take them around the moon and back.
Holy
moly. So, like, that's the thing. Like, space access and space travel is looming. It's on our doorstep. And the thing is, like, then you look at that and then you go terraforming and the colonization of planets.
What's terraforming?
Terraforming is basically like turning unusable Earth into usable Earth. So say you go to Mars and it becomes colonized, it's getting terraformed.
Okay.
It's insane. And then...
So would it be called Tazaformed if I went to places and reclaimed it for myself?
I don't know if that could work. That could fall under the colonization of planets. but the thing, the fact that all of this could and probably will happen in our lifetimes is terrifying and amazing. And the thing that really kind of interests me more is the speed of progress that we'll witness between now and the next 30 to 40 years is going to be massive.
Oh, yeah?
Well, when you consider that the Wright brothers first flew in 1903, right at the turn of the century, they flew for the first time, and they only flew, you know, maybe a couple of hundred meters or something like that. But then just 11 years later, the first commercial passenger airline took flight in 1914. So in
within 40 years.
Hmm?
Within 40 years.
No, that was within 11 years.
Within 11 years. Sorry.
Yeah. Within 40 years, the Soviets were launching dogs, shortly followed by men, into space. This all happened in like a hair over 50 years. That's massive. And like, it's a terrifying expansion that could happen again. And this genuinely gets me really giddy thinking about it. When you think that like all of a sudden this becomes feasible, like the possibility of going to space becomes feasible and approachable by mankind, then that becomes something that people will be drawn to. You know, they'll gravitate towards it, no pun intended. And you'll see, yeah, like it'll become accessible. It'll become, especially if any of the planets that are within any kind of reach of ours are resource rich. You know, it's very interesting to think about it.
Would you go to space if you could? If Elon Musk called you right now and said that he wanted you aboard his rocket tomorrow, would you go?
I don't know. It kind of feels like a bad chat up line. I'd be like, Elon, what do you mean you want me on your rocket? But no, to be honest, like, if he was like, oh, let's go to space, buddy, I was like, I probably would. Yeah, would you?
Yeah, it would depend on whether I'd get home or not, because I do like my little house here in Dublin.
Yeah, I suppose. I never really thought about that. Do you know what? It's actually, it must be fairly daunting for the Mars astronauts who might just have, well, you know, they're just going to stay there.
What? I never really thought about that. Like, they're being shot into space to never come back.
Yeah. No, but yeah, the Mars One website has a whole section about the ethical conundrum of sending people on what is essentially
a suicide mission. Yeah,
to a faraway planet. And this is what, I copy and pasted this directly from the Mars One website.
Right, okay.
Mars One is NASA's official website of like the mission to bring people to Mars. And the way they word it is like, a one-way trip, or in other words, emigration to Mars, is currently the only way we can get people to Mars within the next 20 years. This in no way excludes the possibility of a return flight at some point in the future. It is likely that technological progress will make this less complex down the line, not to mention the fact that once the planet is inhabited, it will be that much easier to build the returning rocket there. This means that in time, it could be possible for astronauts to return to Earth at some point in the future, should they want to do so. All of those emigrating will do so because they choose to. They will receive extensive preparatory training so that they fully know what to expect. Astronauts that have passed the selection process can always choose not to join the mission at any time and at any point during preparations. Backup teams will be ready to replace any crew member that drops out, even at the very last minute.
That's a fairly huge sacrifice, isn't it?
It's insane. So they're talking about sending a certain group of people there once every 2 years. So basically building the colony every 2 years.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
It's insane. But like, with all of the talk of people going to the moon and Mars, I know Voyager being like 14.3 light years away, the constant in all of this kind of space exploration is that humanity always wants to push further.
Yeah.
So sometimes at the cost of their own lives. And I guess why this question is interesting is that pushing things further implies that at some point you'll eventually reach a climax or an end. And when the question asked is, does space end? We don't actually have an answer.
Surely there must be a bit of an idea, though, whether space ends or not. Like, who actually came up with our solar system?
Mm.
So, as like, okay, our finite system, kind
well,
of.
Well, I'll get to that. So obviously, like, space is massive.
Jungle is massive.
Yeah, well, space is massive.
Do you know what? It scares me a bit how small I think I am as a person in Ireland. How small Ireland is as a country on the planet Earth. How small the planet Earth is in our solar system. How tiny our solar system is in the galaxy.
Wait until I actually, like, point this out to you. Like, you were, like...
Like, and I'm still worrying about the embarrassing thing, than my awkward moment with the shopkeeper earlier. And
yeah.
That's how small I... Do you know what I mean?
But that's... Yeah, it's like... That's the thing. Like, when it comes, as I said, like, to the question of whether space ends or not, like, space is everything. We are occupying space right now. The planet is occupying space. Our solar system is occupying space. Space is enormous.
Oh, I just got one of those weird feelings like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, nothing is certain. What is life?
Yeah, so, you know, it's big enough to contain all the planets and the sun and all the stars that we see when you look up into the night sky. It's a big old place. And up until not too long ago, people thought that what we could see from the Earth was everything. It was all of space. Until a lad named Edwin Hubble rocked onto the scene as a young scientist and flipped the entire script.
Edwin Hubble, as in the Hubble telescope.
Mm-hmm. So the very same. What he discovered kind of rocked the world of astronomy so much that NASA named the Hubble telescope after him. So up until that point, it was thought that fuzzy little small patches in the distant reaches of space were enormous clouds of dust in our galaxy called nebulae,
okay,
which is the plural for nebula. But Hubble discovered that they were actually groups of stars that were really, really far away, too far away to be within the Milky Way galaxy. So he discovered that they were also galaxies, and they were far further than anybody had previously thought.
I'd say that was the day Edwin Hubble had his mind absolutely shattered.
Can you imagine, like, climbing down out of the telescope and being like, what have I just discovered? Like, I've just discovered that, like, space goes on umpteen million times further than we
terrifying.
Thought it did.
Terrifying.
But it gets more interesting, right? All of the galaxies and suns and stars and nebulae and everything that we can observe from Earth are just that, right?
Okay.
It's what's called the observable universe, which scientists reckon is about 93 billion light years from end to end, right?
And that's just what we can observe.
That's our observable universe, yeah, which is an absolutely staggering number to get your head around.
Yeah.
When you consider a light year is the distance light can travel in 1 year, and light moves at approximately 300,000 kilometres a second, and this is 93 billion light years from end to end.
That is massive.
Oh, it's like, this is roughly the point of my kind of when my reading, when my brain just started to disintegrate. Like thinking
and
about,
that is only what's observable to us.
It would take light 93 billion years to get from one end of the universe, of our observable universe, to the other. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, as I said, space is massive. It's insane. So Hubble made another discovery, and that's that the faraway galaxies that he could see seemed to move away over time, which implied that the universe is still expanding. So that if they were moving away from each other over time, it stands to reason that they were closer to each other at some point, right?
This is a heavy episode that has kind of changed the way I look at the night sky, Marcus. I'm a little bit mind blown right now. It's, this is crazy.
Yeah,
So the ginormous, ginormous solar system that we have.
Well, the solar system is just our planets.
So it basically goes solar system. Yeah.
Universe or solar system, which is part of our galaxy. We're in the Milky Way galaxy.
Yeah.
And then our galaxy is in the universe, but that's just our universe, our observable universe. So what's crazy is that if there's like an alien standing on the porch of his alien gaff in another universe, right? Part of his observable universe could cross over with ours. But because ours is like 93 billion light years across, he might only see a section of it that we can barely see.
Okay.
She or it or whatever alien pronoun they want to use. It's like, it's genuinely, the sheer scale of this is...
This is life. This mm-hmm. is crazy.
Yeah, so this is kind of where we look at an answer. The universe is flat, right?
We have figured that out
mm-hmm.
in recent episodes.
Yeah, the universe is, it kind of exists as a flat linear plane that is constantly expanding. That's part of the Big Bang Theory, that since... The Big Bang Theory is basically that the universe was really small at some point, and then something happened, and it, you know, if you looked at the Big Bang 1 second after it, it would have been an enormous mass of just protons and neutrons and electrons and quarks and strangers and like all of these like microscopic tiny building blocks of everything at roughly 100 trillion degrees Celsius. And as they cooled, they would have grouped together to create atoms and carbon and oxygen and everything which created our universe.
Yeah, our universe.
Like to create, you know, planets and carbon-based life forms and everything like that. It's just like,
oh my God,
but
this is so
the force of the expansion, or the force of the, yeah, the expansion of the Big Bang was so strong that, according to Big Bang theory, the universe is still expanding.
It's still expanding,
out from that, from that explosion. So
that would explain why Hubble found out that the galaxies that he could see seemed to be moving further and further away.
So it's expanding on a flat linear plane, and it's somehow getting faster as it does so. And the reason that we will likely never know whether space ends is that we'll probably, I'm going to say probably, it's almost a definitely, never be able to travel faster than the speed of light. And the universe seems to be expanding at this point faster than the speed of light, which is crazy.
If the universe is constantly expanding, then what is it expanding into?
So
that must imply that.
That was the first question that I asked myself. It's like, if the universe is everything and it's expanding into nothing, then what is that nothing?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, see what I mean about
completely.
It's like being punched in the brain repeatedly. Like, honestly, if people who have PhDs in astrophysics, respect.
It's like if you had a jar and you were filling it with water, and you were, the water, as you kept pouring in water, it didn't overflow from the top. It just kept taking more and more water. It's like, that's impossible. There has to be some give outside for it to take that, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of, well, it's like you're dealing in all this kind of concept of like temporal space and everything like that. It's absolutely insane. But basically, this paper that was published by Cornell University said, if the universe is infinitely big, then the answer is simply that it isn't expanding into anything. Instead, what is happening is that every region of the universe, every distance between every pair of galaxies is being stretched. But the overall size of the universe was infinitely big to begin with, and continues to remain infinitely big as time goes on. So the universe's size doesn't change, and therefore it doesn't expand into anything. If, on the other hand, the universe has a finite size, so if space does have an ending, then it may be legitimate to claim that there is something outside of the universe that the universe is expanding into. However, because we are, by definition, stuck within the space that makes up our universe, and have no way to observe anything outside of it, this ceases to be a question that can be answered scientifically. So the answer in that case is that we really don't know if anything the universe is expanding into.
My head is melted, Marcus.
Me too, but you know what? It's like, this is fascinating that, like, you know, you can look up into the black expanse of space at night, or you can look up at the sun on a beautiful sunny day, or you can sit on your balcony or out in your back garden with a telescope and see distant, like, you know, you can look at parts of the Milky Way, or you can maybe see a nebula or a comet on a clear night, and just think that there is a theoretically infinite amount of space beyond that. And I don't know if you're religious or you're an atheist or you believe in aliens or you believe in anything, but the one certainty is that there is an effectively infinite amount of space out there, and that's incredible. And I mean, like, whatever happens with humanity, whether we all eventually leave Earth and start colonies in other planets,
that's,
or
crazy
we
to think
we
about.
You know, like,
imagine if aliens and humans started interbreeding.
But listen, could be happening already, who knows? But I mean, with all the information we've been given, I think I can try and attempt to answer the question for Joey.
Do it for Joey.
Joey, the universe does not end, but at the same time, that's because it's constantly expanding its own end into a hypothetically unknown space. That's the best we can do from the inside of a shower. If that isn't good enough, I can mail you the number for NASA and you can have a chat with them yourself. But I mean, this is the kind of the bastardized interpretation that was come to by a couple of days of research from a college dropout who's turned into a DJ. So,
space does not end, is what we're happy to say.
I'm going to say that space defines its own end. So it does not end. It has a theoretical end, but it's only an end which is constantly moving further away.
Okay.
So if you get me.
I
so
getcha.
It has
I
an end which isn't an end.
Okay, I
gotcha.
It has an end that is constantly moving further and further away.
At faster than the speed of light. So, it's not a scientific question anymore. Like, it's not observable for us. So yeah. it becomes completely theoretical. And
Marcus, my mind is blown. Please, before we get any deeper into this infinite space, some facts. Okay. As if we need more facts, but
do you know what? It wouldn't be an episode of In the Chair if we didn't bombard you with facts at the end of it all. Are you ready?
Give me that space fact.
You want some space facts? All right. This is a good one. The moon was once a piece of the Earth.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
There's a fairly well-documented theory that when Earth was a relatively young planet, it was struck by a giant object and the collision broke a piece of the Earth away to create the moon. The piece then began to orbit the Earth as a result of its gravitational pull.
Whoa.
I know. How
mad is
that?
That's a pretty big one.
Isn't it crazy?
So that is a fact.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, one more.
Okay, so all of the planets, except for Earth, were named after Greek and Roman gods and goddesses.
Okay.
So Jupiter, Saturn, Mars, Venus and Mercury were given their names thousands of years ago. The other planets were not discovered until much later, after telescopes were invented.
Right.
But the tradition of naming the planets after Greek and Roman gods and goddesses was carried on for the other planets discovered as well. So Mercury was named after the Roman god of travel.
Mm-hmm.
Venus was named after the Roman goddess of love and beauty.
Yes.
Mars was the Roman god of war. Jupiter was the king of the Roman gods.
Wow.
And Saturn was the Roman god of agriculture.
Gas.
Uranus was named after an...
Your ass.
Uranus was named after an ancient Greek king of the gods.
Do you know what?
What?
A planet being called Uranus has caused an infinite amount of chuckles and laughter.
It really has.
Yeah, it was a great call.
It was. But then Neptune was the Roman god of the sea. Pluto, which is now classified as a dwarf planet. Listen.
It's also classified as a...
As a Disney dog.
As an orange Disney dog.
Mm-hmm. But he was the Roman god of the underworld. And the name Earth, do you know what that means?
Earth. No.
It's just an Anglo-Germanic word, which means the ground.
So we're just
the
ground.
We're just here on the ground in an infinitely expanding
universe. So the other planets are war, agriculture, beauty, and we are ground.
Ground. Yeah, so do you know what? In this infinitely expanding universe that surrounds all of us, in this 93 billion light-year observable universe that we're living in, we're just sitting here. Living our lives.
On the ground.
And if that doesn't make you feel like the biggest and smallest piece in this giant universal galactic astrophysical puzzle, then I don't know what will. I hope this has somewhat answered your question, Joey, because it's opened up so many more for me.
I think it's probably our longest episode to date as well.
Maybe, I think so, but honestly,
In the show with Tazimarcus, 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 in the show with Tazimarcus.
Well, I don't think I'll ever sleep again, Marcus. To be honest, I am honestly questioning my existence. I'm questioning everything. I'm actually questioning more than I questioned after the episode on parallel universes.
I don't think it's even questioning, because parallel universes are such a hypothetical but very possible thing. This is just on the table, balls to the wall, fact. Crazy stuff.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of In the Share with Taz and Marcus. We hope that you really, really enjoyed it and your mind isn't too far blown. But hopefully, yeah, you learned something new. If you're new to the podcast, we have over 70 episodes that tackle the weird, wacky and wonderful questions of the world that our amazing listeners have sent in. If you have been with us from the beginning, then thank you so much for listening.
If you want to support us and you want to help us in that way and you want to tell your friends about In the Share, we'd really appreciate that. Maybe tell your colleagues or share it on your social media. That is how podcasts grow and we would love you to be a part of that.
Believe it or not, a lot of podcasts do actually grow through word of mouth. So do tell your friends about it, tell your colleagues, tell your family. Every extra listener is fantastic to us. Not as fantastic as you, though. You're the original listener that we love the most.
If you want to get in touch, it's very, very easy. If you have a question and you just want to say hi, or you want to send us a picture of your dog, or you want to talk to us about the universe, that'll be cool. It's very, very easy. You can get in touch with us on any of the social media. Just look up for any of the social media. I sound like a granny. You can look up at In the Shower Pod on Twitter and Instagram, or get us on Facebook just by searching In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, and send us lots of lovely pictures and questions.
If you have a question that you would like us to answer on In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, not only can you send it to all of those socials, you can send it to our email, which is intheshowerpodcast@gmail.com.
Couple of thank yous to wrap up the episode. I feel very melancholic after that. Like usually, I know, usually we're like, couple of thank yous to wrap up the episode. I'm like, couple. Oh, I feel like I'm giving a eulogy. This amazing. You googly. A couple of thank yous to wrap up the episode. A big thank you to all the crew in the Head Stuff Podcast Network, Alan, Paddy, everybody. Thank you for doing all the work that you do for In the Shower constantly.
Next up, thank you so much, Flo Robinson, for doing our cover art. We love you, Flo.
Thank you, Dave Gertzman. I know it's a big universe, but I think you make the best theme songs in.
And finally, thank you so much to you for dedicating your ears to us for the last little chunk of time in this universe. We really, really appreciate it. We really, really appreciate you. You're loved and you look great.
I hope that our bastardized explanations of these questions that people have asked us have kind of improved your day and not sent you into an existential spiral.
So Marcus, next week's question.
Next week's question is another big one that I can't wait to research, because do you know what? Like constantly when I was doing that that question about space ending, I was listening to like all the Hans Zimmer soundtracks for like Inception and Interstellar and all those. And I think I'm going to have another Hans Zimmer binge when I'm researching this one.
What is it?
It comes from Lee Weaver, and he asks, is time travel possible?
That episode is going to be out next Monday in time for your morning shower.
In time travel for your morning shower. But in the meantime, keep scrubbing.
In the shower with Taz and Marcus, 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 in the shower with Taz and Marcus.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Hey, all you hip hop heads, NDG's favorite urban music festival is back. Prévention Côte Neige NDG and Elementality are proud to present the 18th edition of Hip Hop You Don't Stop, ending the summer on a high note with a weekend full of performances, art showcases, dance battles, and community gathering. Featured artists include Mackie Lavender, Miriam Sassy, Remy Picasso, Shades Lawrence, DJ Pro V, and more. It's all going down Friday, September 16th to Sunday, September 18th, and it's all free. Visit linktree.com/HHYDS Montreal for more information and stay connected, because hip hop doesn't stop here. Hip Hop You Don't Stop is brought to you with the support of Canadian Heritage and La Ville de Montréal, a CKUT co-presentation.
Chez Élections Québec, on note que les gens votent de moins en moins. Alors pour inverser la tendance, on fait l'inverse de ce qu'on ferait normalement. Normalement, on aurait essayé bien bien fort d'attirer votre attention. Mais pour faire l'inverse, on va essayer pas fort, pas fort. Encore moins fort que ça. Comme ça. Et c'est peut-être en essayant vraiment pas fort d'attirer votre attention qu'on va justement réussir à attirer votre attention. Ouh, ça c'est fort. Le 3 octobre, on inverse la tendance. Tout le monde vote. Un message d'Élections Québec.
On va vous le dire un peu plus fort. Vous écoutez CKUT. C'est l'émission Sleepy King Radio. De retour en studio depuis quelques semaines seulement. On est vraiment, vraiment content d'être avec vous. Mon nom est Benoît Chaput. On est le 14 septembre. Il fait pas très beau, mais on va y aller doucement. On va commencer cette émission de poésie et musique.
You are tuned to CKUT 90.3 in Montreal. This is Terminal 5.
My,